The Dodgers and Mets have hauled an A to an A-plus for the 2024 offseason as pitchers and catchers report for spring training this week. But there is a team that has significantly improved this offseason, and nobody's talking about them. Let's get into it.
Walder to right field and deep. Back it goes.
And Nova knocks it into center. That ball is crushed. He's putting on a display. Wow, if you have a standing room only ticket and ask for an alley today, you got a good chance to get a Brett Rooker home run.
Into the Reds bullpen.
Darno hits it out to center.
Welcome back to the Touching Bases podcast. If you're new here, subscribe and like the video at the end if I deserved it. And at 5,000 subs, we are going to do a giveaway of a signed jersey of an active player. Comment your thoughts below throughout this video and that'll enter you. Moving on! There are a few teams that have moved the needle significantly this offseason and even broke records with contract signings. Obviously, we know who that is. There's one team in one specific division that stands out the most to me. The AL West. It's a toss-up, as it was in 2024. With the Mariners starting the season hot, holding a 10-game lead last season up until June 20th, and that's after dumping three of their most highly touted stars in 2022 and 2023, the Astros eventually rode their way to the top and made it to the finish line, while the Rangers didn't seem to show up at all after they won a World Series in 2023. And the Angels and Athletics? Well, I mean, they did their thing. The Athletics, although going through their heartbreaking transition out of Oakland to Sacramento, while also telling everybody not to call them Sacramento A's because they're planning to go to Vegas, but they're putting Sacramento patches on their uniforms. John's a moron. They showed actually a light towards the end of the season, with Lawrence Butler making a name for himself and Brent Rooker having a career year and then later extending his tenure with the A's. Names like Zach Gallen hopefully will live up to the hype everybody was hoping for back in 2023 and figure out how to cut down on the strikeouts, because he was the worst last season in the MLB with 188 strikeouts last season. That's a lot. And Shea Langeliers, Bangaliers, however you want to call him, who returned in 2024 with 29 home runs in his second full season, is still growing his potential to be the top MLB catcher moving into 2025. The A's went 29-20 from July 2nd to August 20th, and if they could play the way they did for those 49 games, this could really give this team a chance to make the playoffs and maybe even contend for something bigger. But I will digress, because the fact that they blew 35 leads last season and 11 of them were walk-off losses, they haven't made a single move to improve their bullpen. The A's aren't who I'm excited for. Enter the LA Angels. After placing dead last with 99 losses, missing Mike Trout for most of the season, no help from the $28 million Anthony Rendon, who, by the way, as of today at noon, is going on the 60-day IL for hip surgery. Today. This guy... the Angels, you should sue Anthony Rendon when his contract is over. This guy is a piece of shit. But also guys like Brandon Drury having nearly the career ending season as the worst player in baseball, and at least 11 players to at least play 30 games in the show last year ended the season with an OPS below 700. The Angels need to make a change. And they have. Starting off with pitching, Patrick Sandoval with a 5.09 ERA was replaced with Yusei Kikuchi, who found a second wind with Houston, putting up a 4.05 ERA. Now, I understand that's not the best in the world, but he is progressively getting better over the course of the end of 2023 going into 2024. And he also ended the season with a 3.5 WAR. Griffin Canning, gone. Traded to Atlanta for Jorge Soler, who hit 241 with 21 home runs and 119 WRC plus while playing half of the season in the second best pitcher's ballpark in baseball. So that should say something. Now, don't get me wrong, his defense is dog shit, but as a permanent DH, which I wouldn't think it'd be smart to not put him in the outfield sometimes to give Mike Trout a day off and some rest so he doesn't get injured again. You have a powerful bat while giving up only a starting pitcher who gave you an average of over 5 runs per outing. And on top of that, lucky for you, you have Caden Dana ready to go into the MLB. But wait, instead, they actually spend some green and get the former Cy Young contending starting pitcher with the Chicago Cubs. Sounds great, but if you're a baseball fan and following Hendricks, he is kind of a risky addition to this team, and at this point, it's a great move. What? Yep. This is a veteran with playoff experience and carries knowledge that the younger staff can build off of. He may or may not be able to utilize these skills at age 35, but he can be that positive clubhouse leader who fills the number five slot. Even if he performs poorly as we enter this next season, I'm confident that he can improve Caden Dana to fill that role. As for the bullpen, they just signed Kenley Jansen to a one-year $10 million deal. That's more than what the Mariners have spent this whole entire offseason. I'm still mad about that. You had Ben Joyce. Oh yes, the 104-mile-an-hour closer with 1 year of experience that was a perfect replacement for Estevez departing to Philly. But you doubled down and make sure that Joyce gets the best mentorship and support in 2025 by grabbing an elite closer. Yes, I said elite. Jansen had 27 saves last year, averaging a 10.2 Ks per nine. Now I understand his ERA was 3.29, but this man is 14 years in the MLB, and so far he hasn't pitched a single year with negative WAR. Low risk, high reward, excellent move. Your DH last year, Willie Calhoun, gone. 2.9 below average offensive performance and a 6 below average in defensive value, according to Fangraphs. Hello, Soler. With Mike Trout coming back, Stefanik is out, which if Trout can protect his hands and not pull a hamstring or a quad, you just added a 6-win player to your roster. Now, this next guy I'm not exactly too high on, but I do see where he kind of fits in the roster if he is actually improving, as he said in multiple interviews that nobody really seems to be paying attention to. Tim Anderson, I'll be honest with you. Ever since he literally got knocked out by Jose Ramirez on the baseball field during a fight, he's never really been the same.
Sway to second, head first slide, right over the bag at first. Now Jose and Anderson square off. They're fighting, they're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Anderson squared off. Jose decked him.
But a minor league offer with a non-roster invite to spring training. I mean, if he can be what he was 3 years ago, this is a great pickup. If not, thank God you signed Kevin Newman, because Zach Neto, he will be missing some time this year with a shoulder surgery. Kevin Newman has been probably one of the more underrated infielders in baseball. Last season, he slashed 278, 311, 375, which to some might be underwhelming because he only hits like 3 to 6 home runs a season, but he can get on base. He doesn't strike out. His career average is 12.4% K rate. He isn't going to be crazy power bat and draw a bunch of eyes off of an MLB network, but he will play key roles. And in 2025, if you stick him at shortstop while Neto recovers, defensively, he carries a 7.8 above average defensive value. There's a lot of hate on Kevin Newman's numbers if you only care about power and speed, but I personally think this is an opening day shortstop for 2025. They also traded for Scott Kindry, and even though I don't think he'll be making the 26-man roster, he is really good depth. Last but not least, you have Travis d'Arnaud and Yoan Moncada. Travis is a league average bat, but excellent. 6.8 points above average defensive value catcher that will finally give Logan Hoppe a break behind the dish. He was overworked last season. Those days he got a break, Matt Theis was cringe. Travis was clutch for the Braves last season, as Sean Murphy was out with an injury, like the whole team was last year, and was part of pivotal moments that I think can give the Angels a couple extra wins this year while keeping that catcher position fresh and healthy. At third base, which, as I just mentioned, as of today, which is, I believe, the first day of pitcher-catchers reporting, Anthony Rendon is going to be out for 60 days. So, Yoan Moncada. Now, if you're subscribed to this channel, and if you are at all a Mariners fan or interested in the AL West as you're watching this video, we have Mariner Mondays, and this week we actually give my take on Moncada, and it isn't exactly positive, but that's for the Mariners. By the way, if you could subscribe if you haven't, I would love you for that. Moncada is a product of the White Sox, and man, this truly is the year to see if this team is just a cesspool of negativity and decay, or if it's just bad luck / bad farm system. Moncada is 29 years old and hasn't played a full season since 2021, and that was only 144 games, where he hit .263 with 14 home runs. That's not bad, but he hasn't really done anything since. His best season was in 2019 with 25 home runs and batting over .300. In fact, I believe it was .315. So why is this optimistic? Well, it's better than Rendon, and as of just turning on this recording and talking to you guys, which wasn't planned, he's not even going to be able to play. Go figure. It's almost funny. Like it's getting absolutely ridiculous. I stand by the fact that Angels should sue this guy, because the numbers are insane. Check out, I'm going to put it on the screen. I'm going off script. Look at that. Amazing numbers in Washington. What happened in LA? Yoan Moncada in the last four seasons is averaging 88 games per season with 9 home runs and batting .274 with a .723 OPS. Rendon is averaging only 51 games per season and in the same stretch is batting .231 with a .666 OPS, putting him 13 points below Moncada's OPS plus. If the Angels can perform an exorcism on Rendon's OPS numbers and get him to play 30 more games, you have a solid third base platoon in 2025. But I'm going to take it that Renhifo's probably going to move over to third base to platoon with Yoan Moncada if he's struggling over there. It's crazy to me how he got this contract and literally just quit trying. The Angels have really had a rough decade, and this year might not be a World Series season, but they are moving in the right direction, better than anybody else, I think, in this division. According to the projected F-War, the Angels have added 7 wins to their 26-man roster, and that is not including Mike Trout's return, who's valued at about 4.2 war, or Zach Neto's projected 3.6 war after he comes back from the shoulder surgery. Best case scenario, the Angels have a 14.8 better win team than 2024. That's the biggest collective F-War jump in the division. AL West, look out. Angel fans, get excited. Oh, you thought I'd forget. No. Come on. Christian Moore, I'm not forgetting him. Although he might be MLB ready, don't think that the Angels are going to call him up unless they absolutely need him before April 28th. Yes, I'm talking contract manipulation, but can you blame him? Moore will be a great second baseman, but hear me out. At third base, you got to burn Moncada. You've got to utilize Rendon after he comes back from his surgery. And you also have to put Renhifo at third if something happens to Moncada, if he doesn't perform. You still have Newman and Kindry before you get Neto back from the IL. So you have a little bit too much depth for now for you to start that timer on Moore. You basically have to Jason Dominguez him like the Yankees did. I mean, Moore has a chance at Rookie of the Year maybe in 2026 or 2027. So you may as well give him that opportunity. We won't know till 2025 plays out with all of these new options what's going to happen, or if this is his year, or if next year probably is. And I'm going to say 2026 is probably his year to come up and compete for that Rookie of the Year slot. Subscribe and like the video if you made it this far, and I'll catch you all later.